dreamed of.
It's Will Campbell Week here on PHL, and to celebrate, we're teaming up with our friends at Kettle to give out the Rolex that Will Campbell will be wearing on NFL draft night.
Biggest thing for me was, you know, come in and leave it better than I found it.
Oh yeah, did we mention we're also giving away a pair of tickets to a Will Campbell rookie game next year? Are you kidding me? Autographed footballs, helmets, and actually one of my own personal Will Campbell autographs. I'm giving that out as well with our friends at Kettle. Go to our link now, kettle.shop/PHLSU, and for each $10 entry, you have an opportunity to win all of these prizes. You have until May 2nd to sign up, so get to it now, baby. It's Will Campbell Week with Kettle. PHL Nation, we are celebrating the great Will Campbell by giving out a $20,000 personalized watch, as you guys just saw. All you got to do is sign up at the link down below. And we are releasing our deep dive on, to me, the best offensive lineman I've ever seen at LSU, which is indeed Will Campbell. Of course, we can get into a discussion about fellow North Louisiana native Andrew Whitworth. We could talk about Zaron Black, who also started all four of his seasons at LSU. And we can go back to the 90s with Kevin Y and Alan Faneca. But in the modern era, Will Campbell is the best my eyes have ever seen. So we got a deep dive coming out with Will Campbell, and we are really excited to celebrate, to me, one of the best college football players I have ever seen, Will Campbell. Now, I do have other things I want to get to tonight, including a transfer portal target who we hyped up on Sunday. LSU really wasn't ever in it for him, but Merod Watson signs with Texas. I really do think he is a big-time defensive tackle who LSU desperately could have used to go along with the rest of their defensive tackle room. So my question for each and every one of you watching this right now, do you think LSU needs to go get another defensive tackle out of the transfer portal? What position groups would you like to see LSU address in the transfer portal? I'm looking at you, whoever you may be right now. Let me know, okay? So, next thing, and I do feel it is very important to talk about left tackle next year at LSU. Are there any offensive linemen that could potentially join this room via the transfer portal? Do you feel comfortable with Tyree Adams being the left tackle for LSU next year? So, look, I have scoured the transfer portal for offensive linemen. I am not sure how many that are out there that I feel would make this current group that much better than it actually is. So obviously I've been banging the table for LSU to go get another offensive lineman from the transfer portal. It's just hard when the supply is low. It's really, really, really hard. Every year, offensive linemen, you need five on the field at one time, as many as seven that you could trust on in your rotation, because offensive linemen do get injured pretty quickly. It's hard to find those guys in the portal, which is why you really need to develop them via high school recruiting. So the next question would be, do you feel the current high school recruited offensive linemen for LSU are where they need to be? Will Campbell, Emory Jones, Garrett Dellinger, and DJ Chester, they were four of your five starting offensive linemen that started their careers at LSU. Miles Frazier, of course, was a transfer, but he had been there for three full seasons. So essentially, you had mostly homegrown offensive linemen on your line last year. They're all gone now, except for DJ Chester. So if you believe Brad Davis is what we have been told, we know he's been a good recruiter, do you feel LSU is where they need to be as far as an offensive line is concerned next year? I am very concerned about that group. I have lost sleep over that group And I don't think the rotations you saw during spring are going to be the rotations you actually do see versus Clemson. I do believe Tyree Adams will be your left tackle. I do see a world where Josh Thompson and Braylon Moore will start, even though they mostly worked with the twos throughout spring. Obviously, Josh Thompson didn't join this group until midway through the spring. I do think, I'm looking at each and every one of you right now, that the starting offensive line for LSU is far from set. I do think so. All right. Now, next thing, and I do think for me, AJ Halsey is a defensive back that this last Sunday night, a lot of you asked me to go watch him play and think if he is the real freaking deal. Now, I have been, you know, helping out with this Will Campbell thing that has taken up a good bit of my time. Once again, we are doing that big Will Campbell video tomorrow. But for me, I do think he would come in and start pretty quickly. I do feel he is worth the hype. I understand transferring in safeties has not been LSU's strong suit. Obviously, Greg Brooks was a good player. He was a transfer. But, man, it's been a mixed bag of transfer safeties. Andre Sam came in, but that was kind of an anomaly because he was a year seven player who came into LSU. There's really nobody out there that you can get that will be playing their seventh year of college football that could come in and be the adult in the room. And obviously, Andre Sam still in the NFL, won a Super Bowl last year with the Philadelphia Eagles. So you get to AJ Halsey, Houston, Texas, obviously a huge LSU pipeline, a huge group of boosters that exist in the state of Houston that would get behind going after getting someone like this. But, you know, as much as I would love this addition, I do think winning portal battles now are tougher than winning portal battles in the winter. All right. And this has been a big discussion point in the world of college football. Should spring transfers be allowed to go from SEC school to SEC school? I am not so sure if that's ever going to change, but the truth is, because that rule is set in place, it does limit what you can do with the transfer portal right now. So the players that most people deem to be an SEC caliber player, like a Merod Watson, if you will, well, if you're going to go find one of those guys outside the SEC, which, you know, Texas found Watson in the ACC, then you really got to be the highest bidder to go get him. And we saw that last year with a lot of players, you know, coming out of the SEC to go into the SEC. You got in a pretty big bidding war to get Dominic Williams last year. And for Oklahoma, he was a fine player, but the price was so high because he was a spring portal player who wasn't from the SEC. Obviously, he came over from TCU. Phillip Blitty was at Indiana. He goes over to Auburn and so on and so on. So it's hard. It's really, really, really hard to find any type of transfer portal defensive tackle to bring in and make your team where it's a better team with them in it compared to them not being in it. All right. Next thing, I am feeling better after watching a full day of one-on-one clips with Will Campbell. I feel a little bit better about the overall LSU offense being good with Garrett Nussmeier this next year at quarterback, despite him not having that blind side protected with, obviously, the great Will Campbell. You know, a lot of throws that Garrett made last year were timely throws. You know, some of his best throws actually came when Will Campbell was beaten, most notably in the South Carolina game. You could argue Garrett's two best throws of his entire season, both of which were completed to Aaron Anderson. He got absolutely smoked by the guy that Will Campbell was blocking. So, obviously, Will rarely got beat There's only a few instances just right off the top of my head where I'm like, okay, Will Campbell got beat pretty quickly. Those two times versus South Carolina where, lucky enough, we were still able to complete the pass. He had a few reps versus Arkansas that were a little shaky. But you also have to remember that we were a true drop-back team where you're going up against defensive linemen that are able to tee off, not knowing or knowing that Garrett Nussmeier likely wasn't going to run. And you were in a spot where Will Campbell, because we used Mason Taylor so much on routes, because our running back pass protection wasn't necessarily the best, Will really was in very raw one-on-one situations. There had been, and I'd gotten into a little back and forth with a pretty respected NFL draft analyst, James Foster. He said that a lot of the best ends when they faced Will Campbell had their best games. That's just not true. They had good moments versus Will Campbell. But once again, we were in a lot of just true drop back sets last year where Will literally just had to dominate the guy in front of him. So I am of the belief that Will Campbell will be missed pretty sorely. But hopefully our offense does a better job of helping out whoever will replace him, which I do believe will be Tyree Adams. But whoever it is, they've got big shoes to fill. But going back, watching Garrett Nussmeier, taking a look at the weaknesses that we have discovered or discussed ad nauseum on here, you have got to see better ball placement on deep throws from Garrett Nussmeier. You also need to see the turnovers limited. You also need to see him become an overall better runner. And there's all these lists of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. They mostly have Garrett Nussmeier in their top fives and in their top tens. What makes it even more impressive is that that is Garrett Nussmeier without him having the best pinpoint deep ball accuracy that we know he can have. And that is without Garrett Nussmeier running when given the opportunity to do so last year. Clean up those two things, limit some of the turnovers. Hopefully we have a few more gimmies for him offensively. He could be even better than what he was last year. I'm still very high and very defensive of what Garrett Nussmeier did last year. Now, coming up next, I do want to discuss one small note regarding LSU women's college basketball, plus an update on the upcoming LSU baseball game.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. Are you a diehard LSU fan? And would you like to understand the complex game of football better? Well, sign up today for our PHL Patreon. This is his second touchdown. Counter GY, you're pulling the guard. We dive deep on recruiting and the transfer portal at a level that you have never seen before. Film breakdowns from so many different angles, and my personal favorites, oh yeah, the analytics, baby. I like to get nerdy, We take a look at cutting-edge statistics that help all of us understand LSU football even better. And guess what? Every new signup gets a Joe Burrow card in the mail for free. But we got to save the best for last. Our private Discord community of LSU fans from around the globe. Sign up today. Patreon.com/LSU football and put your name on our wall of patrons. Special thanks to everybody who's on here. Let's freaking go.
LSU baseball was set to be a 6:30 p.m. first pitch. They decided to move it back to 7. So normally on these Tuesday night midweek games, we go for about 30 minutes. We'll probably still go for about 30 tonight, but we do have an extra 30 to play with if we want to. I don't like clashing up against LSU baseball, but just a little reminder for the LSU midweek game that a lot of you are watching. You know, one other thing about LSU women's basketball, you know, the pursuit of Sarah Williams, who wouldn't be LSU's third best player if she were to commit, and potentially even better than that, a double-double machine at Wisconsin, the pursuit is still on. Now, it is interesting that one of the most exciting basketball players in the country is in the portal, and she is a Dawn Staley recruit. Someone that could help us beat Dawn Staley next year is Melissa Full-Wiley, who could make LSU a true national championship contender. And a lot of you want a true point guard back on this team. She would be the Alexis Morris and start and probably be a star right off the jump with LSU. And then that doesn't include all these other players that LSU has been after. Now, it is important to point out that Miracle Shepherd did announce that she is in the transfer portal. So this roster next year is going to be brand new. I mean, we're talking about heavy, heavy rotation players that played a lot of minutes last year for LSU that have left and or mutually parting of ways. It's a tough business, obviously, but, you know, I do believe LSU will be a top five ranked team going into next year. And it's going to be interesting to see what Florida State does, what UConn does. They were still pretty good without Paige Beckers going into next year with Sarah Strong leading the way for them. But, you know, when it comes to the SEC, really Texas and USC would be the only schools that you would feel better about than LSU going into next year. And you would basically have said the same thing going into last year. So it is going to be Flaje's senior season. I think it'll be hopefully her best season yet for LSU. I also love the fact that LSU is promoting Mikayla Williams more. They had another tweet about her today. So really pumped up about that. Now, as far as other LSU sports are concerned, you know, a lot of us are still, you know, recovering, if you will. We're hoping LSU gymnastics would repeat. I don't understand scoring enough. I couldn't even break any of that down. But Libby Dunn did officially announce her retirement from gymnastics. Best of luck. Obviously, I don't think Libby needs any best of lucks from us. She makes, I believe, anywhere from 50 to 500K per social media sponsored post. I wish I got that per sponsored read, but I do not get that because I am not Libby Dunn. But I wish her nothing but the best, as I wish all these other LSU superstars, like a Haley Bryant, if you will, as they take their next step in their careers. All right. Now, I feel as far as LSU baseball is concerned, obviously you get the midweek game. You ended this past series versus Alabama not on a high note, but you won another SEC series after getting swept at Auburn the week before. You could make a strong case that this was the most important series win for LSU up to this point, you know, playing a talented Alabama team and not losing back-to-back SEC series. Obviously, LSU, like a lot of college baseball teams, They're not as good on the road as you are at home. But I do feel comfortable about LSU baseball moving forward, especially with all the depth that they have now. Of course, there are many of you that, you know, have your takes on what you want out of the roster now with the Bear Jones slumping, if you will. But I don't know. I am never comfortable taking Josh Pearson out of a lineup. Now, you know, his biggest claim to fame is just his clutch plays. So in theory, he would be a good bench pitch hitting type of player, but we'll see what happens there. Now, let's see. Here's what I'm going to do. In the next 10 to 15, I'm going to answer as many comments as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep the party moving. Let's see. We've not gotten a super chat yet. I don't know, my comments. I guess I haven't got a comment either. Let's see. I did get a like here from an account named Baked Beans. Let's go. I like that, Baked Beans. You know, there was a viral post about who would you take in the prime of their careers between Jeremiah Smith and Devonta Smith. And I said I would take Ja'Marr Chase over both of them. No bias whatsoever with that. But I would. I legit would. I do think Ja'Marr Chase's single season was better than Jeremiah Smith's true freshman season. We'll see what he does these next couple of seasons. And then, of course, I do think Ja'Marr Chase's national championship year was better than Devonta Smith's Heisman Trophy season, but that's not here nor there. I do think as a football player, even with the trajectory that Jeremiah Smith is on right now, which is a Julio Jones type of trajectory, that's a guy that everyone compares him to nonstop. I do think I would still take Ja'Marr Chase and the NFL career that he's had up to this point over practically anyone. I just don't see how Ja'Marr Chase doesn't continue, regardless of, you know, obviously there's injuries and other circumstances. Even with T. Higgins still in that lineup, I still feel the best wide receiver I have ever seen play the game of football is Ja'Marr Chase since Randy Moss has retired. So there you go. Now, there are other receivers that are great. Yeah, Larry Fitzgerald, Megatron. A lot of those guys have claims to that. But you factor in that Ja'Marr Chase really has no weaknesses. I think he's better after the catch than pretty much any of those names that we mentioned. But we'll see where Ja'Marr Chase's career goes. I do like the fact that he is indeed a soccer fan. I saw Ja'Marr Chase this weekend at an AC Milan game, all the way in Italia. You can't really beat that. I've had the good fortune of seeing AC Milan in person as well. So shout out to Kaká and all the legends that have played at AC Milan. And who can forget, AC Milan is a major reason why your boy's a Liverpool fan, because of the legendary 2005 Istanbul Champions League comeback. So there you go. Let's see, I wrote something else down here. Yeah, here we go. I got this scratch paper. Okay. I do want to touch on one little bit of steam here for an LSU player regarding the NFL draft. I could see Mason Taylor getting into the first round. You know, Daniel Jeremiah, very well plugged in NFL draft analyst. He said that Mason Taylor to the Philadelphia Eagles is a possibility. Now, Daniel Jeremiah used to work for the Eagles. Obviously, the Eagles, they are the sharpest NFL organization in the league right now. Will they actually make this move to get Mason Taylor? I believe that they will. That's going to be my bold take. Mason Taylor sneaks into the back end of the first round. Now, one thing that I feel would help him do that is there are some guys in that back half of the first round that have either character concerns or injury concerns. Derek Harmon, the talented defensive tackle out of Oregon. James Pierce has big off-the-field red flags. Mike Green has a few off-the-field red flags. Another thing that would help Mason Taylor out sneaking into that first round is if the Saints and the Colts actually do draft tight ends early in the first round. I do think Tyler Warren to the Saints will happen. I just think there's so much steam happening for the Saints to select Tyler Warren at pick number 9. I also think Colson Loveland will get drafted in the next few picks after that. So if that does happen, Mason Taylor, in the minds of many, is the tight end 3. The Eagles are thinking about shipping off Dallas Goedert. They're not super deep at tight end, so they would need one for next year's team. So I could see that happening. I really could. Okay. Let's go to Christian here. Made a post on Tiger droppings and I lost brain cells. Carter, you know, like I know with the way this roster is set up, they are not a playoff team. Most likely will go 8-4 or 7-5. Yeah, okay. We'll touch on this and we're going to save it mostly for tomorrow. All right. Could this team theoretically make the college football playoff? Yes, because there are neutral national analysts whose jobs it is to predict this stuff. They have LSU in the playoff. These are national analysts that cover the ACC, cover the Big Ten. I mostly focus in on the SEC, LSU, and then, of course, a big part of my focus now is the NFL. Look, do I think LSU is a playoff team as currently constructed and based on what we've seen up to this point? No, I don't think so. There are so many holes in this team, and that would require me to also believe that Joe Sloan is going to take a step forward, which I think he will, but I don't know if it's going to be enough for them to actually make the college football playoff next year. So for them to go to the playoff, LSU at its bare minimum would need to be a 9-3 team. Bare minimum. And that's going to get you in that 12-ish range. Okay. Ole Miss analytically was a very good team. All three of their losses were very close. All their wins were by double digits. And even with that being the case, them having three losses had them crystal clear out of the playoff picture, even though when you saw with the eye test, they were a better team than quite a few teams that were ahead of them. Eye test, Ole Miss would have wiped the floor with SMU. Eye test, Ole Miss would have wiped the floor with Indiana. So even though you play in the SEC and you have a tougher schedule per se, it does not matter. You have got to avoid that dreaded third loss. So if you beat Clemson and you find a way to only finish a year with two losses, or you beat Clemson or you lose to Clemson and you just go on a heater after that, then you'll make the playoff, all right? But I shared this on AYS yesterday. I'll share it again now. You could share this with Tiger Droppings or whoever else. This schedule got so much unfreaking believably harder this year compared to what LSU's schedule looked like last year. And the reason for that is a lot of the teams that you played last year, you're playing again this year. The SEC decided to copy the schedules and just flip home and away for all your SEC teams. And because of how bad the quarterback play was for a lot of those teams last year, it is going to be a lot better this year with those teams and their QB play compared to last year. Okay, so last year you started off versus USC and Miller Moss, who is a fine quarterback, but eventually he was benched. This year, starting the season with Cade Klubnik. Then you go Florida early in the year, a team that you normally play later in the year. They're going to be better at quarterback with healthy DJ Lagway. South Carolina, Lenore Sellers will be entering a pretty big season for his career. And then, of course, you know, the weirdest thing is Oklahoma might have the best quarterback you play all season. Last year, they had the worst offense, you can argue, that LSU has ever faced. And this year, with the transfer portal being the way that it is now, they probably had the best quarterback running back duo in the SEC going into next year with John Mateer and Jaden Ott. So, you know, that's just four schools. I mean, A&M will be a better offense now that they know what they are with Marcel Reed. Arkansas will have another year with Talen Green as their starter. Ole Miss will be taking a quarterback, you know, downgrade, if you will, to Austin Simmons. They did bring in a kid from a non-P4 school, but I'm telling you right now, Ole Miss really likes Austin Simmons. And if you were to judge a quarterback based on one drive, that one drive from Austin Simmons was spectacular last year versus Georgia. It had a lot of juice. And that was against Georgia down 7-0 after basically a pick six was thrown by Jackson Dart. So we'll see. Let's go to Amicat. He says, we're set up about as well as any other team. I guess you're on the Texas or Ohio State bandwagon. So I guess that comment's directed at me and Christian. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think most people feel Texas and Georgia will be the class of the SEC next year. I have been shocked at how much Florida steam there has been. There has been a lot of Florida Gator steam. You know, there's been a lot of buzz about a true freshman receiver at Florida by the name of Dallas Wilson, who's very, very, very interesting. As far as Ohio State next year, I mean, they are the team to beat. They have arguably the two best players in the sport with Jeremiah Smith on one side, Caleb Downs on the other. But the big question will be, what do they look like at quarterback, and what do they look like in the trenches? You know, they're losing a lot of really good defensive linemen. 91's gone. Sawyer, 33's gone. 44, JTT gone. Simmons, a really good offensive lineman who's about to go first round, he's gone. So they're losing a lot of trench players, and most notably, they're losing their brain trust. OC, DC out the door with a shaky head coach who, with that roster, did manage to lose two games. So, you know, maybe I'm not as sold on Ohio State as others are, but, you know, they're going to be the number one team and the team to beat next year. Okay. Sam says, we are not going 8-4 unless a major hit injury happens. People forget every team has questionable rosters. Stop the foolishness. Our floor right now is 9-3. Okay. So we could do this. I never mind. I really, really, really do not ever mind the generic what's going to happen next year offseason topics. Because, look, my favorite thing to talk about are the games itself. Okay. Now, this is why I think it's important. You know, we talked about this 2024 schedule for a good little bit earlier in the show, okay, and about how much better it got at QB, okay? Now, let's go to 2025. Even though Ole Miss and, in theory, Alabama, they will have quarterback downgrades, I mean, all the other schools that you play that are P4 schools will have returning quarterbacks or quarterback upgrades. And who's to say Simmons isn't better than Jackson Dart? Who's to say that a guy like Jalen Milroe, who destroyed us but really wasn't that great versus everybody else, what if What if Ty Simpson really is a real deal? I don't see it, but we'll see. You know, it's hard for me to say that this team has a floor of 9-3. Okay. Now, Louisiana Tech, they are terrible. They were the worst bowl team I've ever seen. I've not really studied them all that much going into next year, but I don't think they're any good. Southeastern, they're not really that good. Western Kentucky, they had a really good quarterback who transferred out. The Hilltoppers won't really be all that great either. So one thing you can always say about Brian Kelly, in the non-Power 4 games, we have always taken care of business and or covered the spread outside of that Nichols game last year where we were not really all that great, but we found a way to get it done. Who can forget Guggenheimer? But as far as saying a floor of 9-3, you know, I would give LSU a 40% shot to win the game at Clemson. At home versus Florida, you would give it about a 60% shot. On the road versus Ole Miss, it's probably 50-50. South Carolina at home, it's probably 60-40. On the road versus Vanderbilt, you're probably winning that game 60% of the time. Texas A&M at home, you're probably winning that game 60% of the time. At Alabama, you're probably winning that game 30% of the time. At home versus Arkansas, probably roughly 70 to 75% of the time. I think Arkansas is terrible. I mean, I watch them and cover them pretty extensively on Power Hour SEC. They just didn't really kill the portal. They brought in a lot of portal guys, but they were a bunch of now non-Power 4 guys that came into Arkansas. They do return their quarterback who can run, which does scare you when it comes to LSU. And then you get to Oklahoma. They are just going to be so much better than what they were last year. I know they lose Danny Stutzman. I know they lose Bowman at safety. But it is hard for them to ever be as bad as they were offensively last year. In Oklahoma, they don't have the deepest pockets, but they do have a good AD. They do have a coach who they do respect. And they're never going to let their offense look as bad as it was last year. That's why they've spent the money to go get Ott. That's why they went to go get John Mateer. So I would say now, at Oklahoma, you're probably winning that game 50 to 55% of the time. So, you know, let's just say LSU exceeds all our expectations and they are elite next year. Obviously, all those percentage points goes up to about 10 or so percent of the time you're winning those matchups. Because if you have a super strong team, who you play doesn't matter as much. But I just, at this juncture, don't view LSU as a super de-duper strong team. That doesn't mean I don't think they're going to be good, okay? I still think when it comes to a transfer portal class, LSU has done an amazing job. Now, I do think Texas could make a strong case for having the best portal class based on these spring additions that they have brought in. A few receivers, and then, of course, Murad Watson, who I think is a good DT. But LSU, at the very least, brought in a top three to top five transfer portal class. I think, you know, we fear the unknown. We fear what we don't have. I fear we're in a spot where, you know, there's transfers that come in, and we feel they're either going to be, you know, good or bad. I would feel pretty comfortable saying that Jack Pyburn will be very, very good next year for LSU. I would go so far as saying an all-SEC selection next year. And we all know defensive end is probably the hardest position in the SEC to make all-SEC. But you factor in all the defensive ends that are now out of the SEC, you know, how many ends are you taking over Pyburn right now? You know, Colin Simmons, I'm probably taking over Pyburn. What Florida has with the Sapp and those guys, sure. But, man, I just think Jack Pyburn's going to be amazing. You know, South Carolina with what they're returning, Dylan Stewart is a real deal. But Pyburn, I think, is as good, if not a better run stuffer than any of those guys. So, you know, you factor in him, you factor in Patrick Peyton. If you get consistently good pass rush and edge setting, you will be a better defense next year. Let's go to Amicat. We have not lost at home to Texas A&M since 92. 60% odds. Stop with that nonsense. Okay, so factor that in. We'll go up to 65 to 70% odds. I could see A&M flopping on their face. I could see it. But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, Le'Veon Moss is a dude. He's solid, man. You know, A&M, they don't ever really have these special wide receivers, but they normally have a pretty good room. And they have the Achilles heel of what has been our biggest issue, which is stopping quarterbacks who can run. Let's go to Bullfrog. I have not really seen, or I feel like we haven't seen, what this team is actually capable of. We haven't seen all of the projected starters on both sides of the ball play nor practice together. Let me ask you this before we get ready for LSU baseball. Type Y for yes, type N for no. Are you tuning in to our Will Campbell special tomorrow? It should drop around noon. So type Y for yes, type N for no if you're ready. We do get a Venmo here from Julie. Thank you so much. Thank you, Julie. I appreciate your friendship. She is one of our patrons. By the way, we're giving out a Ja'Marr Chase jersey at the end of the month. Autographed Ja'Marr Chase jersey. G'day. She says, on my way. Make sure you check out Believe in Saints. I gave my final prediction of what I think is actually going to happen to the Saints in this year's NFL draft. Am I taking crazy pills of what I'm reading in the chat right now? Because two things about this from Bullfrog. 2019 LSU went 8-4 in 2018. They didn't go 8-4. They went 10-3. And honestly, that team is probably a little bit better than we remember it. They lost one game on the road versus Florida. That was the last time we lost to Florida before we beat them four consecutive times. And then, of course, we got beat by them last year. And that was a tough road game. Then we lost to that great Alabama team. There's no other way around it. We got our asses kicked. And then the A&M game happened. We weren't beat in regulation. We were beat on a lucky review on an INT that should have ended that game. Then a bunch of shady officiating happened, and we lost that game in overtime. And then they decided it was a good idea to bully a man with Parkinson's on our staff. But 2018 LSU was a very, 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 very good team. Okay. And if we want to be fair, while 2023 LSU or 2024 LSU played to me a tougher schedule than 2018 LSU, I do think 2018 LSU was a better team than 2024 LSU. I do think so. Okay. But that doesn't mean they can't make the college football playoff this next year. Okay. We say hi to Roy. Let's not use, not, Roy didn't say it, but let's not use the R word in the chat, please. I love the fact this channel is monetized and I'm able to make a living doing this and team up with people like Edel to give out a Will Campbell Rolex. But that's a good R word, Rolex. We don't want the other one in the chat. So please, let's keep it clean. Okay. Tommy Tanks just hit another home run in the minor leagues. Here we go. Let's go to Carl. RIP ESPN broadcaster Mike Patrick. You are right. Mike Patrick passed away today at the age of 80. I loved Mike Patrick. Sunday Night Football for so long, that's where I remember him. But, man, he did a lot of women's basketball coverage. I loved Mike. He was a really, really, really good play-by-play announcer with great voice inflection. For my own play-by-play career, I've studied him as well. Man, he was good. He was good. Him and Joe Theismann, yeah, they were good. We're getting to another Garrett Nussmeier debate here at the end. Name another returning quarterback that passed for over 4,000 yards. Yeah, look, that is a good and bad thing that you threw for 4,000 yards. It's a good thing because it's hard to throw for 4,000 yards, and Garrett Nussmeier has done that. But when you throw for 4,000 yards, in particular on a team that isn't playing in, you know, the conference championship and multiple playoff games, it shows you that, number one, you struggled to run the football, which forced you to throw the football more often. And then number two, your quarterback himself doesn't actually run, and there were rushing opportunities for Garrett. Now, once again, he doesn't need to run a lot. He just needs to run some to slow down the pass rushers of the opposing team. Okay. 2024 Nuss better than 2018 Burrow plus 2022 Jaden Daniels. Ooh, that's tough. That's tough. Yeah, obviously, statistically, he clears both of them. Okay? He does. But there's a lot of caveats that go along with that. What's up, hey? Hey, babe. I got my mom's going to take a shower since her shower's under construction. Okay. Just learned my mother-in-law is coming to take our shower. But yeah, would I say that? So Joe Burrow didn't even throw for 3,000 yards in 2018. Had a streak of no touchdown passes in four consecutive games. But y'all, we won a lot of games in 2018. And we were still a run-first, defensive-laden team that didn't have a whole lot of explosive runs. Remember, our leading ball carrier that year was Nicholas Brissett. Okay? Now, he did have a few explosive runs. He had that big TD versus Miami, but that was some of the worst rush defense you'll ever see. So, you know, Burrow was still amazing in 2018. And then as that season progressed, he just kept getting better and better and better. Something else that makes Joe Burrow a little bit different than the other two is he did not play football at all, basically, in his first three seasons. You know, Garrett Nussmeier had more mop-up duty than Joe Burrow did early in his career at Ohio State. Okay? So another thing is I feel Joe Burrow in 2018 didn't turn the football over. Now, like we mentioned, you know, you had that pick six versus Florida, but we were losing at that juncture of the game. Okay. And then, of course, you had that amazing game-winning drive versus Auburn when we really needed it. Okay. Now, was Garrett Nussmeier better than Jaden Daniels was in 2022? Well, like Joe Burrow, Jaden Daniels did not turn the football over. Now, did Jaden miss throws? Yes. Were his worst games worse than some of Garrett's worst games? I mean, sure, that Arkansas game was a stinker, but he had the flu. So, yeah, Jaden had some tough goes. You know, he had, just like Garrett, some costly second-half turnovers that really turned the tide of those games. But I don't know. Jaden and Garrett were just so unfreaking believably different. You know, Jaden had the lowest turnover-worthy play rate of any LSU quarterback in a single season. And that is crazy considering that a guy like Danny Etling only had two interceptions his final season at LSU. So, you know, Garrett was better statistically, but I don't think you could just look at 4,000 yards and just say that he was better than Joe and Jaden in those final years. Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, I think LA Mom, a lot of people would say Howard Cosell is a GOAT. You know, I do think what makes Howard Cosell interesting, and this was her Venmo question, what made him interesting is you can heavily tie Howard Cosell's amazing NFL along with boxing announcing success to the greatest athlete of all time in the minds of many is Muhammad Ali. Okay. So for those that don't remember, what made Muhammad Ali so great was, you know, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee, had the swag, right? I would say what made him very interesting is those interviews were amazing. They were absolutely positively amazing with Muhammad Ali, and that's what made him so great. It really was. Okay. I'll say I'm a troll. Well, I'm just kidding. I don't mind trolls. I don't. I deal with them pretty often. Okay. Now, has Chance, old school, loves him some Howard Cosell. Here's what we're going to do. Baseball starting up pretty soon. I do want to watch the game tonight because weekends are tough for me to sit and watch every pitch of LSU baseball. We do have our huge Will Campbell piece coming out tomorrow. We'll also go live tomorrow night as well. But please watch it. I'm doing a lot of digging, looking up all of Will Campbell's old interviews. Because, you know, I was listening to an interview I did with Slade Roy, his first ever interview here on PHL. And it was amazing. I asked him, I was like, who was the guy that really made you feel the most welcome when you step foot on LSU's campus? And the first name he said was Will Campbell. Now, you have to remember, Will Campbell is in the same recruiting class. Let's go to Amicat. The only downgrades on this team from last year is the O-line and tight end. Everything else should be significantly better. Well, I'm not so sure if tight end's going to be a downgrade. Are either one of the two players LSU has a tight end? Are either one of those guys as good as Mason Taylor? No. Mason Taylor, like we said earlier, has a higher likelihood of going in the first round than we would like to think. Now, you can make a case that, and Roy, thank you for the super. You can make a case that Tre'Davious Green has better upside as a receiver. But he's probably not going to be as good of a blocker as Mason Taylor was. Same thing can be said about Bauer Sharp. He is faster than both of those guys. He did catch 40 passes and was the leading reception getter last year on that crappy Oklahoma offense. Once again, blocking reps are very splotchy, if you will, with Bauer Sharp. Him being a former quarterback, okay? But I think both of them are serviceable enough to be good tight ends next year. So I don't know if there is a for sure downgrade there. Obviously, you'll have a downgrade across the LSU offensive line. You can make a case that you can have better right tackle play because Emory Jones had an up and down season, but he was still a reliable starter. Okay. Dellinger, he was hurt a bunch during his LSU career, and he was hurt last year, and it did hurt the team. But is there any other positions where it's like a clear downgrade? I don't know. You might be honest on him, okay? But thank you for your super chat, Roy. He says LSU's offensive line scares him. It should. It should scare you. But like I said, if Joe Sloan is better, you can work around at the collegiate level bad offensive line play. It's hard to do it in the NFL, but in the lower levels, you can get around it. Yeah, this is the thing about my channel. You don't have to be a sunshine pumper to be in my chat. If you want to have honest criticism, look, honest criticism has cost me opportunities, you know, just being as objective. But I don't think I am negative just for the sake of being negative. All right? I feel like, you know, I'm like Christian. I try and want every LSU football player to succeed. But there are times where you need to point out, hey, this isn't the way it should be. You know how many angry emails, texts, calls for how hard I've been on a guy like Sage Ryan? And guys that I'm normally pretty hard on, pause. There's a good reason. There's a good reason. Okay. Now you got him lollygagging over at Ole Miss now. We'll see. But yeah, I am not sure. I'm not sure LSU has a massive, massive, massive downgrade at tight end, even though I think neither of which will be better than Mason Taylor next year. Y'all, I do want to stand firm on something before we get going here. There's never been a player that I've taken more negative criticism from. And when I do content on him on the NFL channel or on the Saints channel, it doesn't really get a lot of clicks, which is crazy because anytime you do Colorado stuff, it just blows up for all other channels except for mine. Some of my Colorado stuff's done well, but whatever the case may be, Shedeur Sanders, I just don't see it, y'all. I just don't see it. And I understand there are a lot of Saints fans that want it to happen. But there you go. Now, please, if you haven't already, it's $10 per entry for your chance to win Will Campbell's Roly that he will be wearing on draft night. Go to kettle.shop. I didn't say that smoothly at all. kettle.shop/PHLSU for your chance to win. Don't forget, we're giving away a Jamar Chase uniform. I'm also giving away one of my own Will Campbell autograph photos. Please go sign up for Patreon for your chance to win those items, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom! Shout out to Roy. Shout out to Sam. And shout out to LA Mom for their super chats. Let's go.